Our 2020 season countdown continues. We look at North Geelong, finished seventh last year with a 9-9 win-loss record. Lucky enough to be joined by their coach, Aidan George. Aidan, thanks for joining us in the K-Rock studios as we look ahead to another season of football. You're second in charge out at Keith Barclay Oval. I just want to reflect on last year. Firstly, do you look at last year as a building year or a missed opportunity? And I say missed opportunity just for the fact that two losses to East Geelong, 3 and 8 points. You lost to the runner-up, Thompson, by 7 points, and you lost to the Premier, Bannockburn, by 5 points. Turn those results around and you play finals, and if not, be knocking on the door of a top-three finish.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kingy, too. Yes and no. I think had we have set out at the start of the year with our full complement list, I thought we were probably good enough to finish top-three. When you lose your captain, your vice-captain, and your previous best and fairest winner by probably halfway around two, we probably reassessed. But I guess the good thing was we could challenge against the best sides. We probably just couldn't do it for long enough. But it gives us a lot of confidence moving into 2020.
Yep. Make it easier, and I think every coach answers this the same, but second pre-season in charge, you know the group and you know what makes them tick, and I suppose that makes it easier to get the best out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably first year, I feel like I may have gone in all guns blazing, and you kind of work out the level and the standard and bloke's commitment levels and those kind of things. So I probably backed off a little bit. In saying that, though, I feel like we've got a pretty even balance. We're fit this year, and we've got another 12 months of training our game plan probably a bit earlier than what we had last year, and guys understanding it and having, I guess, 12 months of playing with it. We've tinkered with it a little bit, but it's just the second time around. We should be better at it, and we are better at it so far.
All right, you mentioned those that you lost early in the season. I'll go through them one by one. Daniel Key played, maybe three, four games before getting hurt. Does that sound about right? One game and 5 minutes. So yeah. Second game of the season. How's Keyesy tracking?
Really well, yeah. I think he's got a whole new lease on life. It was probably touch and go whether he'd go around again after breaking both his leg or the same leg twice in 2 years. So at his age, at 30, he definitely did think that maybe his time was up, yep. But he also didn't want to finish on that note. So we gave him, he could have probably maybe came back late in the year last year, but I think him taking the rest of the year off and coming back fresh, he's fresh in his mind, he's really keen, and I think those young players around the club are kind of spurring him on, and he's got that drive back, which is good.
Yep. Playing basketball cost Lockie Wright his season. Have you kept him away from a basketball court? How's he tracking in his recovery from his ACL that he ruptured? Was it late February, early March he did it?
Yeah, yep. So he was a couple of weeks after that injury getting it operated on. So he's probably looking at, he's probably nearly coming up 10 months post-rehab. He's as fit as anything. He's been training to do a triathlon. So he's training, I think, 9 sessions a week. It's hard to get him at football. He's probably one that we're optimistic of maybe hopefully getting him back later in the year. Yep. But at the minute, he's fully into the triathlon stuff. So he's keeping himself fit, and he's got the jaw ajar. He's going to be right if he chooses to.
Okay. So what's the best hope? Is it mid-season?
Yeah, mid-season would be the best, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's not anything to do with the fact that he won't be ready, it's just that he's got the focus elsewhere?
It's probably the downside of doing an ACL. He's a very fit, driven kind of person, and he's thrown himself into triathlons. And when you start beating blokes that have been training to do triathlons for a long time, it probably has swayed his mindset a little bit. I think he's deep down, he's got that little bit of hunger to play footy. Yep. And I think from my point of view, if we can be travelling really well first half of season, it's going to make him definitely want to come back and play.
Steve Ricketts, the other one, who I think was a back issue that kept him out last year?
Yeah, well, no, he did his knee. He had a bit of a sore knee at the start and had it checked out. And his was an ACL as well, so he's had that fixed. He was a bit later on. He's probably a mid-year kind of scenario. Travelling really well. He's been at training, and I know he's given the boys a lot of life having him back on the track. So he's one that, he'll be right to go probably middle of the year, and hopefully we're in a situation where we're going well enough that we can get him back.
Yep. Who captains the club? Have you decided that yet, or is that still to be decided?
No, we have decided that. So we've gone with a joint role this year with Daniel Key and Lockie Hayes, which is going to be great for both of them. Lockie Hayes was a guy that didn't even make our leadership group last year, and the way he's kind of performed over the second half of last season and his pre-season this year, he deserves his opportunity.
Yep. You've done some recruiting. You've been busy, and you've got a couple of guns. You've probably got arguably one of the best ruckmen from the competition in the last decade in Luke Wilson across from Aniki. How did approach take place to get him across from a club where he's been fairly entrenched other than a year at Lara over the last 10 years?
Yeah, I saw him at our Silver Circle day earlier in the year, or last year, middle of last year, and was kind of joking with him. And then he works with a few of the boys at the club, yeah. And they'd obviously spoken to him a bit later on in the season. And I ended up catching up with him at the end of the season to go through it. And it felt like it was a good fit for us. I kind of could sense that he was maybe looking at a fresh start. And I know he'd given everything he had at Aniki, and I guess people at Aniki would say that as well. So fresh start, an opportunity to play with his mates, and hopefully play some finals footy at North Geelong.
Yep. I know there's no set fixture by the GDFL. It's a rolling draw, but there's a sense of theatre that it's North Geelong and Aniki round one, isn't there?
Absolutely. More so. I think there's a rivalry probably prior to that.
Yep.
And then, yeah, this probably adds the cherry on top. So,
also in Jordan Hopper from Lara, of course, captain the Cats in the GFL. You get an A-grade midfielder right there.
Yeah, we do. And even his leadership and even Luke Wilson to a degree, we identified last year that probably getting close in some of those games. I think we went down four games under 8 points. Mm-hmm. Probably a lack of leadership and those kind of things. So I think we've identified that as an issue. We've recruited well in that sense, and I think they're going to be great assets to us.
One that you've stumbled upon is Jacob Bruns, who had a really good season with Grovedale, I think it was 2018. Came down from Echuca and played with the Tigers in the GFL. Didn't play any footy last year, I believe, and you've been able to get hold of him.
Yeah, he's one. His brother, Zach, played at the club, I think, the year previous to me coming. And so Zach came back to the club. His mates with Aaron Beecroft as well, and said that Jake was back in Geelong going to uni. So I made the phone call, invited him down to training, and he's been super on the track, and we were lucky enough to get him across the line last week.
How do you use him in terms of role?
I was unsure at the start. He's a good size. He's probably a 6 foot. I thought he could play on a flank. I gave him an opportunity midfield, and he was probably our best midfielder in some of our match sims. So, yeah, he's going to probably start midfield, but he's definitely got the versatility to play forward or back.
A famous family name has lured a couple of players to the club. The Tompkins name synonymous with North Geelong, and a couple of grandsons of a club great are going to wear the black and white this year.
Yeah, this one's it's a good story. So their grandfather played, I think he might have played in Seven Flags in the 50s at North Geelong.
I believe he's in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
At the club.
Yes, yes. And I think even maybe an uncle or a great uncle that was maybe president or a coach at the club at the time as well. So, they both wanted to, Reece and Jacob wanted to come back and play where their grandfather played. So Jacob's 24, Reece is 21. They both played at Hillside last year in the EDFL. Great kids, just have really chucked themselves into a pre-season and earned the trust and the respect of their teammates, and they're going to be great assets to us.
Josh Whittison returns from North Shore. Jake Dalziel comes from Lara. Aaron Grant, who's played some good footy in Anglesey, comes as well. How are you going to use Aaron? He's played some... he's a bit versatile. He can play both ends of the ground.
Yeah, Aaron, I think for us at the moment, will probably play down back. He's got.
I know he likes it. Well, the Grant boys like a goal.
They do. Hopefully, in a couple of years, we can get the one that's closer to goal at North Geelong. But
hello, Blake, if you're listening.
Yeah, that conversation's already been had. But Aaron's a very smart footballer too. Reads the game really well. I think he's going to be great for some leadership and direction down back. He's got great skills, so I think he's going to be best used down back.
Yep. On the outs, you farewell, well, two absolute club greats and a guy that had a bit of an impact, though. I think it might have been 4 years at the club, Anthony Kilsby. You couldn't miss him with the dreadies. Probably had the best dreadies that we've seen in local footy in recent times. At age, I think, 38 now, more than 400 games of senior footy up down in South Australia. Obviously, I think Kalangadoo was his club down there. And then obviously, I think 4 years with North Geelong, he says farewell. But the great duo of Derek Fitzsimmons and Darren Matheson have finally said enough and the boots are hung up.
So Matho and Desi last year were kind enough when I made the phone call to both of them to step up and play senior level. The year previous they'd both played reserves grade footy, and everyone I'd spoken to around the club said these guys are too good to be playing at 12 o'clock. So to see them both, they don't know the club anything. They've been great servants of the club, and they probably earned the right to come and have a beer at 2 o'clock and watch hopefully North Geelong win. Killer, on the other hand, Killer has been fantastic as well. He's the hardest trainer. He was still winning our runs in that last year at 38.
There's nothing of him.
There is nothing of him, and that's probably why he runs so well.
Yeah.
But I think even later on in the year, he hadn't suffered many injuries previously, and he'd had a couple later on, and I think family times, it's the right time now for him to step back and spend some time with his family.
Do you make the numbers 26 and 15 special now, that what Matho and Desi have given to the club, or have they been allocated already, or do they for what those two have done for the club, do they, take on a bit more meaning?
They definitely would. I actually don't know where the number situation is at the moment. I know there's a couple of the lower numbers with some of the new recruits have tied up, but I think it would probably be good to maybe leave them vacant for 1 or 2 years maybe.
Yep.
That's something we'll probably have to discuss.
Yep, take that back to Jason Habib, your president, and have a chat. Yeah. Just on the club, I know you've had to move one game or turn one game around already with Winchelsea, I think, that you were due to play at home early, and so it might have been round two, and you'll play at Winch, and then you'll round 13, you'll come back. Is there a possibility that other games with the redevelopment at the club have to be moved early or played elsewhere?
Possibly. I know that the club's going to be in talks with the builder to try and limit the amount of damage with the social clubs being redone. I think there is the potential of possibly playing a couple at North Shore.
Yep.
But I think until that catch-up is had with the builder,
yep,
that'll determine how much of an impact it has on the season.
Okay. I suppose the big thing is that you don't want to lose that home ground advantage, do you? Especially when you're knocking on the door of the top five. You don't want to be giving that up too easily, do you?
No, that's right. And I think it will be limited. It probably would be maybe two or three games at worst. Fordo's also discussed back-ending some of their home games as well.
Yep.
So you do want your home ground to be a bit of a fortress. And I think we played some good footy there. I don't think we lost. I think we might have lost twice there last year. Yep. So,
all right. For you personally, age 34 now?
35.
Is this it for you in terms of footy? And obviously, you and I have spoken about your concussions that you've had through your career, and obviously another one last year that cost you a couple of games of footy as well. Is this going to be it for you playing-wise?
I'm attacking it as if it will be the last. I've still got the fire in the belly to want to run out and play, the competitiveness to play. I think last year, having those couple of weeks out where I was injured, sitting back and just coaching didn't really sit well at the time. And I guess I still had that fire in the belly to play. So I'm attacking this one as if it's my last. I'm probably one head knock away from pulling the pin.
Yep.
Chuck everything at it.
Fair enough. What's the situation for you beyond this year? Are you contracted for 2021 with North, or are those discussions still to be had about what goes beyond this year?
Those discussions, I'm not contracted. So this will be the last one of, I guess, the two-year commitment that I'd made. I'm definitely open to it, but that's a decision that obviously we've got 12 months of footy to play yet, and I've also got a young family in that as well. So We'll see how they kind of pan out, and obviously the club has to want me to stick around as well. So,
yep. First four, as we touched on, Anarchy round one, Winchelsea round two, which means you'll go to Winch now, Bannockburn and Thompson. So you've got the Premier, the reigning runner-up, Winch, who are thereabouts with you guys in the fight for a top-five berth, and Anarchy, who have proven to be a bit of a nemesis for North Geelong over recent years when the two sides haven't been poles apart in the ladder. Anarchy's either troubled or beaten North Geelong. So you've got a really challenging first month of footy.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's reflective of the comp this year. And I feel like if you're not on any given day, you can get beat by anyone. I know like Crow down the bottom end have picked up really well, and I expect them to make some pretty big inroads. And then like you look at the top couple of sides, they've lost some players, but they've probably replaced them. So they're going to be still thereabouts. And I feel like sides that are probably between 4 and 8 and 9 have recruited pretty well. So it's going to be an exciting year. And like I said, there's going to be opportunities where you can probably pinch a couple, and there's going to be some times where if you're not on, you'll drop one.
Yep. Big year coming for North Geelong. So close last year, as I said, yeah, and you touched on as well. Four losses by 8 points or less, and they were the three finalists. I suppose if the goal umpire may have got it right at East Geelong that afternoon, it might have been you guys finishing fifth and not East Geelong, Aidan, but you probably don't want to be reminded about that.
No, I thought you might have forgot about that, King. But, and like I said, everyone, it was disappointing, but that result was not reflective of that umpire and our season. Yep. We've had plenty of opportunities throughout our year to do something about it, and it was in our control. And I guess the thing is that it shows we're close enough if we're good enough, and yep, we just need to be good enough for longer.
Yep. Aidan, great to catch up. Love talking footy with you. Best of luck to North Geelong this year, and for more than one reason, because they've got a new number one ticket holder this year as well, which I'm looking forward to having that roll out at out at Osborne Park. So thank you to the Magpies for offering that to me. I've had a lot of fun emceeing functions for you guys over the last 4 or 5 years, and appreciate the offer from Jason Bibb and Paul Cotter and guys like that, Steve Jansen, coming together and offering me the role. So on with the black and white this year, I say.
Yes, no, good to have you on board, King.
Aidan, good luck for the year. Look forward to catching up with you throughout season 2020.
Thanks, mate. Good on you.
Aidan George from North Geelong there. Next in our season countdown series, catching up with South Barwon coach Dave Farrell.